it Ready, Aim, Fire. It confronts people about their need of a Savior. And I know, there are some people that feel very uncomfortable about that method. They don't feel comfortable about confronting someone, but yet there are times. There are times when that's exactly what we need to do, to shake someone's world, to help them to see, hey, there is a need. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. This is urgent. This is something that you need to consider now. You know, pastors use this method from the pulpit. Ready, aim, fire. Clearly presenting the gospel, confronting people with their need of a Savior, just like Peter, who confronted all those who were there that day. And you know, thousands, listen to this, thousands trusted Christ as their Savior that day. That's exciting. That's exciting. And that's called the method of evangelism, confrontational. And I know, maybe some of you are here today saying, hey, but I can't do that. That's not my personality. Well, hold on, because I've got more. Not only is there the confrontational method of evangelism, but there's also the intellectual method of evangelism. Look at this one. It's found in Acts chapter 17. So go from Acts chapter 2 and go all the way back to Acts chapter 17. Because here in Acts chapter 17, we find beginning at verse 17, Acts chapter 17 and verse 17. This is used by Paul, called the intellectual method of evangelism. It says here in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that meet with them. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. This is defending the gospel in an intellectual way. The philosophers were ones given to the pursuit of wisdom. They thought the more wisdom they had, the better chance they had it to get to heaven. The Epicureans taught that pleasure is the chief good. As long as you're happy, as long as you're content, everything's okay, and you just might make it to heaven. The Stoics were the chief good of men, which lies in raising himself up as a state of indifference to all earthly things. So if you deny certain things, like for instance, you decide, well, I'm not going to drive a car because that's earthly, you know, or I'm not going to use a cell phone because that's physical and it's earthly. And as long as do you know anybody like that? Have you heard of groups of people that deny themselves of earthly things? Well, that even took place back there in Peter and Paul's day. These people who thought, well, as long as I defy myself, I don't use a cell phone, I don't drive a car, I don't use these earthly things, well, I'll make it to heaven. So what's going on here is Paul's coming to them and saying, no, that's not the way to heaven. I want to share with you what God's word has to say. In fact, if you turn over and look at verse 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. In other words, too religious. You realize religion is man-made? I don't want to share with you a religion. I want to share with you a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So they're so superstitious. They have so many different religions around them. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. So here he is on Mars Hill in Athens. He's walking through. He sees all these different religions, all these different gods. One of them, they believe, was a comet that came from the sky and landed and somehow was preserved. And they look at that and say, well, let's worship this because it's very possible that there's some god out there that maybe we missed. You know, we're worshiping all these other gods, but, you know, maybe there's one that we've missed. And so let's go ahead and put the inscription to the unknown God. And so therefore, we make sure that we get them all in case we miss one. Well, Paul comes along and says, hey, Let me share with you a God that you missed. He's the God that created this world. He's the one that you need to trust in Him and Him alone. So in an intellectual way, Paul came along and said, let me introduce you to this one true God. Morris, he came to know the Lord as his Savior as through this method called the intellectual method of evangelism. Morris, Dr. Morris, was an atheist. He believed in evolution. He didn't believe that there was a God. And someone came along and shared with him the truth of God's word when it comes to creation, when it comes to the fact that God created this world. And so Morris came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior as a result of that intellectual method of evangelism. I know that you probably know people in the world today that do not believe that God created this world. They swallowed the belief of evolution. They swallowed the belief that you and I are a mistake. We're an accident. We're a mishap. You know, and we just so happen to appear. But you and I know, can think of different ways that we can share with them that, no, I am not a mistake. I am not an accident. I am created in the image of God because God created each and every one of us. You know, you ladies here today are far too beautiful to be a mistake. Impossible. God created you for a purpose. Each and every one of us. We're not an accident. We're not a mishap. The Bible shares with us there are so many truths that we can share with the world today. For instance, DNA. Do you realize our DNA? If you take your DNA, your personal DNA, your physical DNA, if you take your DNA and put it end to end, it will go to the moon and back 3 times. That's a lot of information, because if any of that's missing, just one, you don't exist. That's a lot of information to be an accident, to be a mishap. So we can use this intellectual method in a way to share with others the truth of God's word, that God did create this world, that you and I are not a mistake. So that's called the method of evangelism, the intellectual method. And each and every one of us can use that in a way to share with the world that, yes, Jesus Christ did die on the cross for our sin, that we might have eternal life. We have hope, and that hope is in Christ. So you might think, now, wait a second. You know, I understand the confrontational method of evangelism, and I understand the intellectual method of evangelism, but I still don't feel comfortable. I just don't feel comfortable with that method either. Well, hold on. I got another one. Not only the confrontational method of evangelism is found in Scripture and the intellectual method of evangelism, but there's also the interpersonal method of evangelism. This is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So you want to go back to Luke and chapter 5. And verse 27. This one's used by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, it says this. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. This is Matthew. Sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. Jesus is using the interpersonal method of evangelism. Some people call this bridge evangelism. That is making a friend with someone you know is unsaved. Making a friend with them and doing different things with them and hopefully to share with them the gospel. We have a number of neighbors around us that are not saved. Two widows live on both sides of us. And Jane has made quite a relationship with all of them and has done different things with them. She's made friends with those around us who are unsaved and an opportunity to share with them the truth of God's word. And hopefully one day, maybe even to lead one of them to the Lord, is to make a friend with somebody, to do different things with them. Maybe you ladies are enjoy quilting. Do we have any quilters here? You know, just to go to an unsaved person, you know, and to say to them, hey, you know, I enjoy quilting. I know you enjoy quilting. Well, why don't we quilt a blanket together? Well, let's just spend some time together, especially when someone is hurting and going through a difficult time. maybe something tragic has just happened, and to take that individual aside and say, hey, you know, let's spend some time together. You know somebody that enjoys going fishing. You know, you could go out there and say, hey, I'll take you out fishing with me. Take them out on the boat in the middle of the lake. You know, they can't go anywhere. They're sitting in the middle of the lake, you know. And here you are fishing and get a chance. Hey, have you ever thought about eternal things? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Yeah, that's true. They could. They could swim, yeah. All right. Yeah, that's okay. But in any case, whoa, what an opportunity, you know, to share with them about to make a friend, to confront somebody as you're talking with them and you're making friends with them, you're doing different things with them. Some people like to go out hunting, you know, either shotgun or shooting skeet or going out deer hunting or maybe elk hunting here in Arizona. You betcha. To make a friend. You know, and you want to be careful. You know, there are some people that are unsaved that I wouldn't want to have a rifle next to me. So you do want to be careful in this form of evangelism. But what a wonderful opportunity to make a friend. All of us know somebody that's unsaved. And we can certainly make a friend with them, spend time with them. Now, of course, you do not want them to pull you down. You want to be the one pulling them up. And so you got to be careful in the things that you do together in specific, but yet to spend time with a friend, someone that you know that's unsaved. It is called the interpersonal method of evangelism, a wonderful tool that all of us can use in reaching someone for the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is there the confrontational method, sometimes used from the pulpit, sometimes talking to somebody just outright, you know, to say to them, you know, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And that answer will let you know where they stand. And sometimes you can even turn that around. Listen to this. You could turn that around. You could say, let's say I just came from the doctor. The doctor told me I only have 6 months to live. Could you, as my friend, share with me how I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'll go to heaven for eternity? So you're flipping it around. You're turning around. And a lot of times they say, no, I can't do that. So then you can say, well, let me share with you how I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And to share with them the gospel. It's called confrontational method of evangelism. Then there's the intellectual method. Also the interpersonal method of evangelism. And you might think, Brother Silcott, I still don't feel comfortable. None of those fit my personality. Well, hold on. I got another one here. How about invitational method of evangelism? This is found in John chapter 4. How are we doing on time? I'm supposed to be done a quarter till, is that right? Somewhere in there, quarter till. Yeah, all right. So John chapter 4, look at this one. I like this portion of scripture. In John chapter 4, we have the story of the woman at the well. Look at this. The Word of God shares with us here in John chapter 4. And let's first of all begin at verse 28. It says here, remember the woman at the well, she's coming. I call this the missionary of Sychar. Because she lived in Sychar, and she comes out to the well. And when she comes out to the well, there's somebody at the well. And I believe that this missionary of Sychar, this woman at the well, came out to this well at the hottest part of the day. It was hot. And I believe she came out at the hottest part of the day because she was hoping nobody would be there. She was embarrassed. Her past was a past that haunted her. And it embarrassed her, and people were whispering behind her back, and she wasn't comfortable around crowds. So she came out at the hottest part of the day. She comes around that last sand dune just before she gets to the well, and she noticed there's somebody sitting at the well. And she thought, oh, no, somebody's there. But she took comfort of the fact that not only was this a man sitting there, but he happened to be a Jew. No Jew would ever speak to a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman. So she comes over to the well, and she starts to drop that bucket down into the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink. Now, Jesus got her attention. He shook her world. She had to have jumped and said, "Are you talking to me? Are you serious?" And so Jesus shares with her the truth of who he is. The Bible shares with us that finally she catches on. She realizes this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah, the one that we've been longing for. And in verse 8:28, the Bible says, "The woman then left her water pot." That was the whole reason why she came to the well, was to get something to drink. She needed water to wash dishes, for bathing, for to drink, for cooking. Then she needed some water. But she left it behind. What was she going to do? It shared with us that she ran home. She sat down in her lazy boy chair. She started to twiddle her thumbs and said, "I got to meet the Messiah. This is exciting, the Son of God," right? Isn't that what she did? No. Look what she did. "And went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" I just met the Son of God. She was excited. "Come, you got to hear him. You got to come. He knew everything about me. This is the Son of God. You got to come. You have to come." And you know, we can do the same thing. Hey, our church preaches the Word of God. You've got to come. It will tell you about eternal things and where you'll spend eternity. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven's your eternal home. You need to come to church. Florence Baptist Church, you've got to come. This is where you need to be. It's called invitational. Opportunity with different events that take place throughout the week to share with a friend, hey, you need to come. Invitational evangelism. Now, after she told everyone about where Jesus was, what do you think happened? Look at this. "Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" So Jesus is coming from town. Remember the disciples, they went into town to Burger King and McDonald's and Wendy's to get a bite to eat. And so as they were away getting their bite to eat, the woman at the well was talking to Jesus, and they came out to give Jesus something to eat. And Jesus says, "Oh no, I've got something more important than this. I've got something far more important." Verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye therefore, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Jesus was there at the well. All the disciples left. They went to McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's and got something to eat, but didn't share with anybody where Jesus was and that Jesus was there. Jesus therefore says, "I sent you into the field to labor, but ye did nothing." You did nothing. And now you come back, and those who did labor, you're going to receive the benefits of it. This missionary of Sychar just shared with the town the fact that I am here. Look up. Don't say there's yet 4 or 5 months till harvest. I think the harvest, the physical harvest, was in 5 months. But Jesus is saying, now the fields are white to harvest. And I think Jesus was saying to the disciples, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Stick your chin up. Stick your chin up, look onto the fields, and I think there are thousands of people because this missionary Sychar shared with the community about Jesus, and all these people were coming across the field with white garments, and they're coming across the field, and Jesus says, "Look up, the fields are white unto harvest." And they looked up, and Peter looked at Paul and said, "Where do they come from? Who told them?" And they quickly realized the woman at the well, I call her the missionary of Sychar, shared with the city about Jesus. and many believed. Look at this. The Bible shares with us in verse 42. And they said, or said unto the woman, now we believe not because thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Invitational. Folks, it works. It works. There are many who came to know the Lord as their Savior because what I call this missionary of Sychar had a burden for those around. Realized, hey, he knows everything about me. This is the Christ, the Son of God. You got to come and hear him. You got to come. And you know, if we're urgent, because the message is urgent, and share with a world that's lost and dying in sin of some hope and light in the world today, through Christ, we've got a message. We've got a message that needs to be heard. And we can do it. All of us can do it together. Called the method of invitational. So there's confrontational, there's intellectual, there's interpersonal, there's invitational, and last of all is service. This is dealing with Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, who built or made blankets and garments for individuals and at the same time sharing with them the gospel. I have a friend out in the Midwest who lives in a town, I think he was in Minneapolis. Minneapolis has two interstates. It's got 35 going through, and then it's got 80 going, no, not 80, 90 and 94. And what he did was, is he had this huge truck that had all kinds of tools on it. And he would get up early in the morning, and he would take off. He would head west out of town. And as he was going west out of town, if he saw anybody broken down along the side of the interstate, he would stop and help them. And as he's helping them, he's sharing with them the gospel, telling them about Christ. He would come home at noon, and then he would go the other way after lunch, and he would find somebody who's broken down and needed some help. And he used that as a method of evangelism to help people in need. You know, as they're broken down on the side of the road, you could witness to them. They can't go anywhere. They can't swim away, brother. Can't swim. On the interstate, you know. They're on the interstate. And can't go anywhere. And get an opportunity to hand them a track. Share with them the gospel. And he had the knowledge of helping service and building things and working with bearings and shackles and axles and transmissions and whatever they needed. He could help them. And he used it as an act of service. Just to do something for someone. To build a care, put a care package together. And pass it out at Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, the food bank. What an opportunity of service to help people in need, to share with them the gospel and introduce them to Christ. So you might think, but I don't feel comfortable in evangelism. Well, I just shared with you many different options. We don't just need one. A lot of people think of confrontational, but that's not it. There are more. There's confrontational, there's intellectual, there's interpersonal, there's invitational, and there's service. Folks, I hope you'll take at least one of them, or maybe two or three of them, and use them this week. What an opportunity that we all have. Each and every one of us can be an evangelist, a good messenger of the gospel. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God here this morning. And for the different methods that we can use to reach a friend for Christ. Father, I pray that this week we might see souls saved because different individuals have taken on the responsibility, the privilege, the joy of sharing the hope and the truth of God's word with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, at this time you can get up, stretch a little bit, get a drink, use the restroom, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come.